Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 92. You read this passage just a few moments ago. But Psalms chapter 92, verse 1. Why in the world should you choose to give thanks? Look around you. Things are seemingly out of control, aren't they? You know, financial catastrophe seems to be looming on the horizon. A financial crisis is hitting people, sickness, disease, all sorts of things around us. Why in the world should you and I choose to give thanks? In Psalms 92, verse 1, it's just a simple statement, but a powerful statement. Listen to what the psalmist says. We read it together, but listen to what he says. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Whenever you read David and you read the Psalms, you find that there is a man who learned the life lesson of giving thanks. But sometimes we ask the question, how in the world can you give thanks? Everything isn't easy. Everything isn't good. Everything isn't enjoyable. And chances are you have found out this week in your own personal life, there have been some things that you really wish they weren't there. Maybe you're just walking through a crisis and you're coming right out of a crisis and you say, well, Pastor, how in the world can I give thanks? I shared last Sunday morning the tough command of giving thanks, but what happens when you and I choose deliberately to give thanks? Now, decision-making when it comes to Thanksgiving is a choice. That is, there's a point in your life you have to make a decision. Am I going to choose to give thanks or am I not going to give thanks? Have you ever stopped to think that practicing Thanksgiving is not for God's benefit? After all, if you never thank God for anything, will He still be God? Absolutely. If you never thank God for a single solitary thing, if you lived a life of complaining, if you live a life of moaning and groaning and all that, that doesn't change God one iota. God has always been God, God is God, and God will always be God. He was God before you and I existed, and He'll be God for all of eternity. So what you and I do whenever it comes to Thanksgiving, really, when it comes to the nature of God, God is never changing. God is always constant. The Bible says that God says about Himself that I, the Lord, never change. So why should you and I practice Thanksgiving? Somebody would say, well, you know, it's a whole lot easier to groan than it is to give thanks because some things just absolutely look ridiculous in life. And I'll be honest with you, there are things in life that, you know, you don't go to a surgeon and he tells you you have to have surgery and you get in your car and you race home and say, honey, I just got to tell you, the best thing happened to me, I've got to have surgery. It's going to cost us a lot of money and we're going to have to pay our deductible, but you know what, I'm just so excited about going in the hospital and having to stay there. Now, you and I know better than that. But why does God tell you and me to choose to give thanks? Let me ask you a question. Could it be that the God who created you and created me knows something about the power of giving thanks that when we tune into it, it changes and revolutionizes our life, our living, our thinking, our breathing, our moving? It does something into and for our lives. And yes, He does. As a matter of fact, when you read through the Bible, you look at men who faced unbelievable odds. You look at Joseph in the book of Genesis, and here was a man, the Bible says that God gave him the rank of second in command, but it didn't come before he had a lot of thankless situations. He was put in prison. He was in Potiphar's home, and he was accused of sexual misconduct, and yet he lived a life of thanksgiving. How do you know? Because you'll not find him ever being bitter in life. And you look at Paul the apostle. Paul, in the book of Corinthians, he said he was beaten. He was left for dead. And yet it's Paul that said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks. So what is there that takes place when you choose to give thanks in spite of what you're going through right now? Now, you may be sitting there and you say, Pastor, I know what you're saying, but. Well, I want you to listen very carefully to this message, and I want to ask you this question. Number one, does God always speak the truth? Yes, He does. Does God always have your best in mind, irregardless of what you may think? Yes, He does. As a matter of fact, God can never violate His nature. He will always do to you, for you, with you, what is absolute best from His divine nature. He can't ever bring something in you. You say, well, why am I hurting? Well, follow along, and I want you to look in this passage of Scripture and get your outline out, because we need to understand, out of the overflow of God's infinite, matchless love, He yearns that we practice thanksgiving, because He knows it does something into and for our life that we can't begin to imagine with our small, human, fragmented, finite minds. Well, first and foremost, whenever you think about giving thanksgiving, first, you know, the Bible makes it very clear you're expressing obedience to the living God. Now, let me ask you a question. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Is that God's word or man's word? God's word or man's word? Tell me which one, God's or man's? God's word. Now, will God ever give you a command, but what it's for, not for your best? No. And you see, whenever you think about it, when you're willing to give thanks, when you're willing to give genuine thanks, heartfelt thanks, and you say, "I don't understand what's going on." Now listen, the Bible never does say to tell for you and me to understand. There is no verse in the Bible that says, "Understand what's happening in your life. Understand what's going on in your spirit. Understand what's happening around your family." The Bible never tells you and me to understand what's going on. And whenever you're giving thanks, here's one thing that you're doing. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks. In all things, give thanks." Now, when I give thanks, one thing is happening. Number one, I am obeying the living God. Now, think about this for a moment. What else in the world is more important than obedience to the living God? Could you name me one thing that is more important than obedience to the living God? Samuel said it this way: to obey is better than sacrifice. In other words, if you gave God every single stitch of your possessions, that is not near as significant as obedience to the living God. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. And when you're willing, no matter what you're facing in your life, you're willing to give thanks to God, it may mean that you've lost something, something seems to be, but you say, "God, I don't understand." It doesn't mean you understand. It doesn't mean you have to understand. But there is something that wonderful that happens. Number one, God is watching you as you're giving thanks and as you're obeying. Here's why. God knows we don't understand a lot of things that are going on in our life. Some of you are going through some family situations. You have no earthly clue why it's happening to you. You're doing your best, you're minding your business, you're following God, you're doing everything you know to do. And yet, for some reason in your life, all hell keeps breaking loose. Here is something that God does. When you're willing to give thanks, here's what He knows. I know you don't understand. I know you can't fathom what's going on in your life. Think about it. Men, imagine if there was a woman that lied about you and told you that you had violated her sexually. That was the case of Joseph in the book of Genesis. The Bible says that Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of raping her. How can you thank God for that? The Bible says that God was using every situation for the life of Joseph's best. And you see, here's the reality about the life that God is. He knows you don't understand, but here's what He wants you to do. He wants you to trust Him. Listen, if He's not big enough, awesome enough, great enough to take care of your life when you don't understand, then who else is there to serve? And you see, the Bible makes it very clear. When Paul was speaking to these saints in Thessalonica, he told them in all things to give thanks. I know that they must have said to Paul in their language, just like we said, "How? How can I give thanks?" Number one, God is governing everything. Amen? Now let me ask you a question. If God is not governing everything, then He is not almighty, all-powerful, all-sufficient, infinite, eternal, almighty God. There is not one millisecond of this world that almighty God is not governing. You may not understand it. I cannot understand it. But you cannot understand the mind of God. It's beyond us. And the Bible says Paul knew that. Paul knew that God was engineering everything in his life. And when you are willing to thank God, number one, you're obeying God. Think about it a minute. Do you want the blessings of God? Do you want to enjoy the blessings of God in your life? We'd say, well, absolutely. How can you enjoy the blessings of God if you're not willing to give thanks? You see, the sad reality about it is there's so many people who live a life of moaning and groaning, complaining and agonizing, and they're wondering why God's not blessing their life. Number one, they're violating the Word of God. Tell me something. How can you violate the Word of God and God bless you? You see, it's real simple. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings blight. And I can't tell you to understand everything. You know, there may be something happening in your body. I know what it's like for something to happen to your body in a day's time and your life be torn upside down and, you know, one thing lead to another. But here's the reality. God has some things in His knowledge that you don't have in your knowledge. And those things are beyond you. And here's what He does. He creates a situation for your life. Now listen to what I said. He creates. You're going through a crisis. You're going through a difficult time. And He's watching how seriously you take His word. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I watch my daughter to see how serious she's going to take her daddy's word. I give her something to do, or I give her a directive, and I stand back and I watch. I don't say anything else. I just stand back and watch. Is she going to listen to her dad? Is she going to obey? And you see, here's what we do. We cop out. We say, well, you just don't understand my situation. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you saying the God who created you, who knows absolutely everything about anything that there is to know about anything in the universe that has been, is, or ever will come, doesn't know about your life and your situation and your circumstances? He knows it comprehensively. And yet, we want to cop out because, you see, here's the thing about it. We lose perspective. And whenever you give thanks, you know, you're giving thanks to the eternal God. You're giving thanks to Him. And what's happening is He's shaping your life. And you see, in the life of Joseph, he faced prison, he faced pain, and he realized that in the end, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he looked back at his life and he said, you know what? God purposed all of this for good. At the age of 17, he went through hell on earth in his life. His brothers abandoned him. His family rejected him. His mom and dad didn't want to have anything to do with him. And when it came to Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, I can understand why God allowed all that to my life. I can understand why God allowed me to go through spirits of hate in my life. Now, let me give you an example. Then we'll move on. There was a time in my life when God brought some people in my life and made my life absolute hell on earth. And you know how I responded? I responded real spiritual. Here's what I said. Lord, I hate them. I did. I hated them. Well, you want to know how far that goes with the Father? Now, Benny, see what it's doing to your spirit? Oh, I was miserable. And I had to admit my hate. And I had to admit what was going on in my heart. And I thought, Lord, why are you allowing that to happen to me? And I cannot begin to tell you how God is drawn from that experience to help other people deal with people who have hurt them deeply. People who have assassinated them. Maybe you've got a mom or dad or somebody in your life that they've absolutely made life a living hell for you. Can you give thanks for it? Yes, you can. Because you see, here's the reality. God is never out to toy with your emotions. That's not who He is. He's a God who's out to develop you and grow you and mature you so you can be a blessing to somebody else. You see, here's the reality. Well, here's what we miss out on life. Life is not about you. You know what we miss out on? Well, you know, my life's not going the way I want. Have you ever stopped to realize life is not about you? Life is not about me. Life is about who? The Lord God. Think about it. 40 years after you're gone from the scene, nobody will know your name. Maybe less than that. Life is not about me. Life is about the Lord God. Think about it. So many people get their life so centered around themselves, and they miss out on the purpose of life and the purpose of living. It's about the Lord God. And second of all, not only you're positioning yourself for blessing. And you say, how in the world can giving thanks position myself for blessing? I want you to listen real carefully. You're giving thanks in a situation, and the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it's a command, a directive from Holy God. You need to understand, it's inspired of God. God laid on the heart of Paul to write this. It was inspired of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's the very word of the living God. It's as though God spoke it himself, and he did. And Paul wrote it down. In everything give thanks. That's a directive from God to you and me. Now let me ask you a question. When you obey God, are you positioning yourself for blessing or blight? Well, blessing. Now watch how it works out. When God gives you a command and a directive, he watches to see if you obey it. You're in a crisis. You've lost your job. And I want to ask you to raise your hand if you know what it is to lose your job. I know what it is to lose your job. I know what it loses around Christmas time. And all of a sudden, you know, no job, no income, no nothing coming in. Your wife, it wasn't around Christmas time. It was in October. Your wife pregnant, went home and had to tell her the wonderful news that she was expecting Stephanie. Honey, got some good news to bring home to you today. Just got laid off. You're kidding me. No, I'm not. You've seen women cry. And I backed up and I thought, Lord, I'm trying to obey you. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. Does God know what he's doing all the time? Amen? Amen. You're obeying God to the best of your ability. You're doing what you know is right to do. And all of a sudden, you get blindsided. How and why should you give thanks for it? Now, watch carefully. God makes it clear you must reap what you sow, right? The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Well, if you're walking in obedience, God, I'm walking in obedience, what am I going to reap? Here's what he's going to bring into your life. He's going to bring blessing. Watch how it works. You're obeying God and you get laid off your job or you get terminated, you get fired, and you say, God, how is it working? You said, in all things give thanks. It doesn't seem logical. I don't have any money coming in. I can't pay my bills. Listen, let me ask you a question. Is there any such thing as a depression, recession in the hand of Almighty God? The Bible says who's created everything that there is. No, there's no such thing as depression with God, recession with God. Listen, the Bible says it's through him that we live and have our being. And the Bible says he's created everything that is. And so here's how it may work out in your own life. You know, you're minding your own business, and you're on your job, and maybe you don't get terminated, but you're in a thankless job, and people are making abuse of your life, and all of a sudden, it happens. Somebody comes up and says, would you be interested in another job? Let me listen carefully. You cannot thank God and not get paid back. It is a violation of his character. Because the Bible says, turn to Deuteronomy a minute. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, listen to what it says. And in another translation, I want to read it. Listen to what it says. If you fully obey all these commandments, the Lord your God, the laws I declare to you today, God will transform you into the greatest nation in the world. Look at verse 2. These blessings shall come upon who? You. Listen, when you give thanks to God, it's a difficult situation, you're in a crisis, you're in a difficult time in your life, how in the world does it happen? Well, God's watching your faithfulness. God sees you're giving thanks, and he knows you don't understand. He knows you can't comprehend what's going on. So here's how he does it. In a way, so he can make it real to you, he may even allow somebody to come by your life, offer you another job, better position, promotion. Let me tell you how it happened in my own life. I didn't know what in the world to give thanks for and how to give thanks for it, but I just knew God was in control. I didn't understand. I didn't know what it meant to lose your job. You know, until then, I knew what it was like to lose your job. That's been years ago. But then God showed me, Benny, I've been watching out for you all along. The next door he opened was a position making three times what I previously made. Now, am I saying that to say, well, you know, just give thanks so you can have a financial benefit? No. But here's what God knows. When you give thanks, when you obey the living God, you are setting your life up for blessing. Listen, he must honor his word. He must always do what he says. And you see, whenever you obey God, you know, all the Bible says his blessings will come. And so That's why, you know, you have to always check your spirit. Lord, is something going on in my life? Is something happening in my life that I'm not giving thanks for? And you start checking your spirit. Because the moment you stop giving thanks is the moment you start disobeying God. Now, let me ask you this. How many blessings can you bank on by disobeying God? A lot of people say, you know, I'm crying to God. I'm just asking God. I'm just pleading with God. What are you doing with a command to give thanks? Ask yourself this simple question. What am I personally doing with a command that the Father has given me to give thanks in everything? Would you have to be honest and say, Pastor, I'm just a complainer. I'll just be honest. I live complaining. I enjoy it. You know, there's some people that die miserable, and they seem like they love misery all their life. But listen, God will always. And you see, another thing that happens, you're humbling your spirit before the God who created you and can only do good to you. Now, think about it a minute. Because the world you and I live in, think about the sinfulness of mankind, we've come to believe that life's about us. You know, you're humbling your spirit to the living God. The fact is, the Bible makes it very clear, you know, our purpose is to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. You know, when life becomes about us, we become very foolish. We do all sorts of unwise things. You remember the story about the man who had all the possessions. He said, I'll tear down the barns I've got and I'll build bigger barns. And the Bible says God called him a fool. Because the Bible says that night his soul was required of him. You don't know when you're going to leave this world. If you've watched TV lately, you found that the head coach and the assistant coach of Oklahoma State was killed in a plane crash just this past week. The women's head coach and the assistant head coach of Oklahoma State showed some pictures on UK Sports and others, and USA and all those. They didn't know when their day was coming. They was just on a recruiting trip. They was going to go get a ball player. But that day, their soul would find its eternal destiny. The Bible makes it clear you don't know what a day holds about your life. And the more you live, the longer you live, especially not giving thanks, it has a way of embittering us and angering us. You ever seen somebody that just lives angry? You know, they try to smile. You know, they can't even get a good smile out. Why? Because they're angry and they're bitter and they're resentful. Listen, you're humbling your spirit before the Lord God. Why? Because you're going to be gone someday. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. In 100 years, you won't be here. In 100 years, you'll be gone. And you'll be living someplace in your life. You'll be living someplace for all of eternity. And you see, when you and I choose to give thanks, we're humbling ourselves to the Lord God, and we're being reminded, God, life is not about me. Listen, I think a lot different about 53 now that I'm 53 than when I was a kid about 7 or 8. I thought if you was about 53, you was about ready for the grave. You know what I'm talking about. Isn't it amazing how young 50 is anymore? And how wonderfully young 60 and 70 and 80 is? Even hear people say, well, I'm a young 90 years of age. I've got a dad that's precious 85 years of age and just had knee replacement. He said, I'm thinking about the other one. Because we all want to live. Listen, when you're willing to give thanks, think about what happens. You're saying, God, I choose to obey you. Now, I'm not telling you that all your situations are easy. I'm not telling you that they'll be enjoyable. But let me ask you a question. When you stop giving thanks, what do you think happens? Nothing good happens from a heart that doesn't give thanks. We live in a mad, angry, hostile, upset, irritated world. You know, I mean, you get in front of somebody and you didn't mean to do it, and it's like they'll take you out. We live in an angry world. But there is something about that. Listen, the world wants to see what does Thanksgiving do? And in the life of Paul, the life of Joseph, the life of King David, here are three individuals. There wasn't anger, resentment. They walked through their life. They faced insurmountable odds. But there was a fragrance about their life because they learned to give thanks. You know, when we don't give thanks, let me tell you what we're basically saying. Now, I want you to listen real carefully. I want you to listen. I'm not going to hurt your feelings, but I want you to listen. When you and I know that God commands us to give thanks and we don't do it, here's what we're really saying. Now, we may not want to say it out loud. God, I know what your word says, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to give thanks. Now, you say, well, no, I don't really mean that. Yes, you do. You're not going to give thanks, and you're not going to thank the God of the universe who gave you life. Think about it. Have you ever stopped to think you don't even have to exist? Sometime breathe and hold your breath and think that's all it takes for you and me to leave this world. And you see, it's a sense of humbling ourselves before the God of the universe. You know, not only that, but number four, you're reorienting your spirit to Almighty and all-powerful God. You know what happens when you give thanks? Here's what you're doing. There is one in control. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. People say, well, you know what? This world's out of control. And I listen, and I hear them. I thought, no, I know you can say that and you can talk. And you can do. Listen, when you read about this God that you and I serve, listen, he moves heaven and earth for his children. Why? Because we're precious to him. Listen, our father's in control of everything. Our dad is in control of the universe, the galaxies. Our dad is orchestrating our life. Our father is in control. Listen, it causes you to live in a way where you just want to say, Father, thank you. No matter come what may, every millisecond of my life, you are governing every little detail. Every little detail. You know, Paul put it this way. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Paul probably had the most comprehensive, the most intellectual understanding of holy God of anybody in his day, and even our day for that matter. You know what he said? He's governing everything. You say, now I just don't believe it. Didn't say you had to believe it. You see, more wonderful things happen in your life as a byproduct of crisis than any other time. You ever notice you're in a crisis? You're in a hard situation and you get on your knees, God. Now let me ask you a question. Does the Father love this position right here? Amen? Now let me ask you this. Don't you think that he's in charge of whatever brings you to this position? This is a wonderful position. Because you know what you're reminding yourself of? There is a God. He's holy. He's my Father. And he's governing my life. I may not understand rejection. I may not understand loss of job. I may not understand tragedy. I may not understand loss of a loved one. But here's what I do know. I know somebody that does understand. Let me just give you an example of how it works in real life. I don't know if your computer has ever malfunctioned. But if you've ever had computer trouble, there's nothing like it in all the world. And you think, how in the world can I get this fixed? And I take it to one fella, and he starts talking into me gibberish. I don't understand what he's saying. But here's what he says. You come back in 2 days and pick it up. What he does, he says, you know what? You may not know how to do it. And he don't say that out loud, but with all of his electronics there and all of his, I know I don't know how to fix it, but he does. Listen, there is one who loves you more than you can dare comprehend, imagine, or think. And he has nothing but his absolute best for your life. He can't give you anything bad. Well, you say, I've got some bad things. Well, bad things can come by disobedience, rebellion, and deciding to violate this God-given life and using it my way. But you see, there is no way God cannot give you his best. And you see, you're reorienting yourself to the living God. Listen, some of these days, all of us are going to be gone. Time and time and time again, I'm called to be in a funeral, whether it's a young, middle-aged, or older person. And I'm reminded every time, someday my body's going to be there. I won't be there. My body will be. And someday we're going to be gone. So how do I want to live my life? How do I want people to see? Listen, you know what? Whenever you give thanks, think about this. Whatever you say, you've got to hear. Have you ever noticed it? Whatever you say out loud, you've got to hear it. Father, I thank you. You're in control. Father, I thank you that my life's in your hands. I thank you that everything that comes to my life today is coming by your loving permission. What if you die? So what? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present where? With the Lord. And lastly, you're protecting your spirit from bitterness and negativity. Now, listen carefully. And all throughout the Bible, there are incidents of men and women who reveal this, but let me tell you what will happen to your life. What will? This is not if and maybe or but. Let me tell you what will happen to your life if you don't give thanks. Think about it. I know some people that all they can do is complain and moan and groan. They're complaining about the weather, complaining about the government, complaining about this and complaining about that, and all they can do is complain, complain, complain. You know what you've got to do? You've got to live with yourself 24/7, 365. In other words, you've got to go with yourself and think about going with yourself, and you're going with the complainer all the time. I don't know about you, but I listen to some people and I think, I wonder how they stand themselves. I wonder how they actually, and sometimes they call themselves Christians. Listen, you and I have Jesus Christ. You and I have Him living on the inside of our life, and we have the best. So how in the world can we live complaining? And yet, truth about it is, you know, the market is filled with people writing book about negativity and bitterness and all those things. And how you can overcome, how you can seven steps to positive thinking. There's even positive preachers on TV. Let me show you this. Think about it. Get your mind set on a Father who loves you and who will move heaven and earth to show His love for you. You say, Pastor, will He do it? Oh, yes. You cannot convince that He didn't move heaven and earth so I could find my wife, because I wouldn't have known to go to Williamsburg, Kentucky. I wouldn't have known to go to Wolf Creek Baptist Church. I wouldn't have known to go to that piano player that was sitting on that pew named Charlotte Williams. But you know what the Father did? He moved heaven and earth because He showed me, Son, you're significant to me. You're important to me. You see, sometimes we just don't realize how important we are to the Father. We think all He wants is some religion. He wants us to come on Sunday morning. Let me tell you this. You find out what He has in store for your life, that fact that He'll move heaven and earth for you. That's why Paul could give his life, because it wasn't about religion. It was about this God that loved him. And when you realize you give thanks because God is allowing your life to matter, you know, there's nothing any more difficult or more sad, think about this, than somebody's life not mattering to others. Think about you living and dying and your life not making an impact on other people, because all you could do is complain and moan and groan about the life you've been given, and the life you have is a gift from Holy God. But then you look at that other person. I've known people who they didn't have two nickels to rub together, especially when I was a kid, and many of us live that same way. And you think about those people that made an impact on you. I think about Perry Lee. He was the caretaker of the cemetery, and he would come with those little shears. He didn't have two nickels to rub together, and he would mow the cemetery for $13. And he would take the shears and go all the way around the tombs and how people like that make an impact. I never will forget watching him do it, because he had dentures, and as he was clipping, he'd go, you know, that was because of his dentures. Now listen, why do I remember Perry Lee? He was not a deep theologian. He wasn't a Sunday school teacher, but he was a man that made an impact on about a 4 or 5 year old little boy. And I remember him. I never go by the cemetery where he's buried, but what I don't think of him. Why? Because he made an impact. He showered this person with his kindness and with his love. Now let me ask you a question. What do you want to do with your life? Do you want to live your life making an impact for the Lord God through Jesus Christ? Or does it not really matter? If it don't matter, then go on with life. But the reality of it is, someday we stand before the Lord. Someday we stand before His presence. David, whenever he concluded his life, was king, but he could have been any type of king, but he was a king that had the heart of God in him. Paul said, I fought a good fight. He looked back over his life, and his life was impacted wonderfully, impacted millions. Will there be, I want to ask those of us that are a little bit older, will there be a 3, 4, 5-year-old that raises up and said, you know what? He made such a difference in my life at faith. She made such a difference. They always treated me with loving kindness. I can just remember how they treated me, how they responded to me. Listen, there's a lot of things that's not worth giving thanks about. We don't see. But stop and think about this. Someday this world is going to conclude. Someday the Bible says Jesus is going to take the saints away. Maybe the rapture, maybe today. Someday he's going to build a brand new world for his children to enjoy for all of eternity. Why should I not praise and thank and declare praises to the living God like that? Because after all, he's in control of everything. Amen? And Father, we bow and praise you and thank you that no matter come what may in life, you're governing our lives. We may not understand, we may not figure it out, but that doesn't change the fact that in everything we can give thanks because it is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, you don't want it in one season of the month. You want your people to learn it as life lives by each day. Father, I pray this morning for that person who's really struggling in their life and they realize this morning that they've never made a decision to give thanks. They've never made a deliberate decision for the rest of their life to give thanks. Father, I pray that your will would be done. I pray for that person here who's lost, don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Lord, they can live for a long time, and then they could leave this world tonight. Father, would you just impress upon them, you love them. If you didn't love them, you wouldn't have sent Jesus. If you didn't love us, you'd let us die and go to hell. But you love us enough to tell us the truth. You love us enough to convict us of sin. You love us enough to tell us there's another place that we'll go if we're not right with God through Christ. And Father, I pray that you would draw that man, that woman, that boy, that girl to you this morning in this invitation. In Jesus I pray, amen.